Russ Kazmierczak Jr. grew up in Arizona and has been drawing comics since 2001. When he moved back here from California last year, he wondered what he would draw about.
A Valley cartoonist hopes to impress people with his comic books based on Arizona politics.
Amazing Arizona Comics.
Created by Russ Kazmierczak, based on the headlines.
That's pretty hilarious.
Pretty creative, yeah. Isn't it?
You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. This episode will be posted the week of September 12th, 2016. I really need to record these podcasts more often. I think the last episode was posted in July. But with so much exciting stuff happening in and around Amazing Arizona Comics, it's difficult to sit, review, reflect, and record one of these things. I have so many opportunities for creative expression that the podcast gets shelved, and I do apologize if you enjoy listening to podcasts like this, designed to give you insight from one like me that tries to entertain people in as many different ways as possible. Right now, I'm self-publishing a monthly mini-comic. I'm hosting a monthly late-night talk show. I'm trying to do stand-up at some local venues. I'm trying to tell stories at storytelling events. I'm writing and performing poetry around town. Why, Russ? Why are you doing all of this stuff? Well, let me just say it boils down to, as many things in my life do, the Monkees. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, and they were a constant source of entertainment for me in my childhood, my adolescence, and now even in my adulthood. They released a new album this year, for crying out loud. But they were masters of slapstick comedy on television. They released a feature film, television specials. They toured and did interviews on TV and in radio. They, of course, released many awesome studio albums and a couple of live albums as a group, and then afterward, individually. Mike Nesmith not only inspired the birth of MTV, but then developed his Video Ranch website, which is an online interactive concert venue, basically. Mickey moved to England and directed television. Davey helped raise horses and has founded a few fundraising efforts. And even in his passing, those fundraising efforts continue. So that is to say that the Monkees started for me and for everyone as kind of a 60s pop music phenomenon. But as I've begun to study their careers and continue to in my adulthood, I find that the lesson is clear. Pursue your passions, whatever they may be. So I like comics, I'm going to make a comic book. I like stand-up, I'm going to tell some jokes. I like poetry, I'm going to read and perform some. Why not? You only have so much time, people. Utilize it to its fullest, as the Monkees have in their early 70s. And even down one member, they're still touring and recording. So here we are. The week of September 12th, 2016, presumably a somber one as we come out of September 11th, but I'd like to think that the football season is helping America keep its spirits up, even though some players refuse to stand up during the national anthem. The fact that that's even a controversy shows how powerful football is in our country. And I've come to decide that it's basically the high school pep rally of America every week. Remember when maybe it was once a month, once a week, whenever it was at your high school, you kind of had to file into the gymnasium and watch like the cheerleaders practice, basically, and the principal would give a speech, and maybe there'd be a motivational speaker or some performance that would happen, or they'd have like a shootout contest, and they'd have three popular kids come down while the rest of us had to watch. That's kind of like what football is for us every Thursday through Monday. It's this intense, what's going on in America pep rally that in the forefront has a football game or several football games. I mean, next month they're all going to don their pink ribbons and stuff for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's like Spirit Week. You know, instead of Backwards Day or Twin Day, it's Pink Socks Day at the University of Phoenix Stadium or something. It's crazy. It's adult homecoming. I don't know how else to think of it or describe it. And that's come from the fact that one guy has now inspired some other guys not to stand while somebody sings the national anthem, just as you'd have the handful of students that would sneak out and go, you know, smoke under the bleachers or something like that. Not that what he's doing is equivalent to that, but just there were always the rebels that made things more interesting. And Kaepernick is certainly somebody that's making things more interesting right now, hopefully in a productive, socially constructive way. Whew, dug myself out of that shallow grave pretty quickly, I think. But so the spirits are up this week, and not only in America, but close to home here, as I reflect on some awesome things that happened last week in and around the world of Amazing Arizona Comics and some cool things that I have coming up. Last week, I did a stand-up set at Improv Mania's open mic in Chandler. They do it every second Thursday of the month, I believe. And it was a lot of fun, telling jokes, meeting some other local comedians, and just trying to be funny in general. You know, stand-up is, as you don't need me to tell you this, but stand-up is perhaps one of the most challenging performance arts, if you think of it that way, which I do, because it demands a certain reaction from the audience. You know, if I go to like a poetry open mic and I read one of my poems and the audience doesn't respond audibly, well, I could just assume that they're soaking it in, they're in being introspective, they're mulling it over. If I go to one of the many storytelling events around town and I tell a tale, whether it's a personal anecdote or something I've written that's fictional, if the audience does not audibly respond out loud, chuckling, laughing, doing those thoughtful mmms you hear from time to time, I could at least assume that there is some introspection or reflection that's happening internally, and maybe later they'll appreciate a clever turn of phrase I delivered or something like that. There is no need for a response. But with comedy, if there isn't an instant reaction by way of laughter, you've failed. That's what comedy is making people laugh on its face at a very surface level. So even a comedian that has a clever turn of phrase, that is very smart with his material, if people don't laugh, well, he wasn't funny. That's the takeaway. So going on stage for a 5-minute set at Improv Mania, man, I knew that, like any other time I've done stand-up, that's the desired reaction. And thankfully, I got it from some of my fellow stand-ups there and the audience in general. I was delighted that at an open mic, there were some people there just in the audience. Sometimes it's comics performing for comics. But that was not so at Chandler's Improv Mania, so I want to thank that venue and thank the host there for that. The next day, my beautiful lady Randy and I, we hit the road for Sedona's Book and Art Festival in the beautiful Red Rocks of Sedona, Arizona. We set up our Etches and Sketches tour, where she has her etched mirrors, etched by hand, available online, Forever Etched Mirrors and Glass, find her on Facebook. And I set up my mini comics, of course, AmazingArizonaComics.com. You can find them there. And we sold some comics, we sold some mirrors. It was a great time. Better than expected, to be honest with you, because going in, we were skeptical. Some of the organization seemed shoddy. There was some miscommunication via email. And I say that only because the organizers pulled out of those challenges and pulled off a very great event where, again, folks came with money in their pocket to buy stuff. And we sold things. So I deem that a successful weekend out of town, not to mention the chance to see friends like Daniel Franks, a great author out of the Verde Valley, the Clute, poet based here in Phoenix, that also came up for the weekend, and our dear friends the Quisenbigs, Jan Mark and his wife Joya, that put us up for the weekend. Man, they're great people, and they have a wonderful son, and it was just a good time. We spent some of the weekend at Riot in Cottonwood. Riot is an acronym for Rendezvous in Old Town. Not a lot of bars dub themselves with acronyms. It seems like a challenge after you have a few drinks to remember what those letters stand for. But it is in Old Town, which is what Cottonwood dubs its main street, sprinkled with antique shops and places to eat and drink. Riot, it's been around for a while, but it's still one of the newer venues there. And every Friday and Saturday night, they have karaoke. So we went there and tore it up. We had a great time. I sang quite a few songs, and we ended our marathon of music with a guerrilla performance of Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. Jan's wife, Joya, has an unbelievable voice. She knows it. And everybody that hears her sing knows it, too. You heard her here on Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Last episode, she and I sang The Last Train to Clarksville in Clarkdale, which inspired the Boyce and Hart written Monkeys tune. But she was going to join me for the powerful female vocal at the end of Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. But we planned for Jan, her burly husband, to grab the mic out of her hand and sing it instead. You know, it's always a show with us. We always got to entertain people, kind of like I said at the top here. You want to make people laugh, have a good time, and I think we did that. So I'm going to come out of this segment with a little audio from that performance. You're going to hear a lot of crowd noise because our friend Zach was sitting on the fringe recording this, but hopefully you'll be able to catch Jan and me as we sing Meatloaf's epic ballad, I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. And then after that, we'll have a few more segments for you on this episode of Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Thank you for listening. Listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio, and this is Sketchy Stories. Stories by artists that have had unique experiences sketching for fans at comic cons, comic book stores, or other venues promoting their work. You're about to hear from John Derek West, an amazing Arizona-based artist whose work you could find online on his Facebook page at JDW Art. Find the page and follow it. His work is truly incredible. John told me this story when we were sketching together at Drawn to Comics in downtown Glendale over the summer, but it takes place a few years ago at Phoenix Comic Con. It's about an Elektra sketch that went awry. This is John Derek West on Sketchy Stories, and you're listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio.
We're talking about whether or not anyone had ever, if you had done a sketch for anyone, and they just said, you know what, you can just keep that. Like, they didn't even want it at all. No interest in what you had just produced for them, even if they paid for it. Or, I might add, had not paid for it yet, and still were like, you know what, just keep it. Which is why I don't usually do stuff for free up front anymore. And I told Russ, no, I have had people give them just right back. At Phoenix Comic Con, my second year there, I had a young man asked me for an Elektra. Now, I had never really drawn Elektra for anybody as a commission, but I feel confident in my sexy lady skills, and I produced a very respectable Elektra. When I was like, whoa, all right, Elektra. And I used my gray, you know, shadowy markers, so I mean, I put a little work into it, because I was like, I'm getting this $25. At the time, I was charging way too little for sketches. So I get done. He walks up the next day. He's like, "Hey, back to my sketch because I had a list that I had to do." He sees it and goes, "You just keep it." And he didn't say, "I don't want to pay for it." He just said, "You just keep it." I'm like, "But it's done, and you asked me to do it." He said, and he just kind of did this and wandered into the crowd. And I thought, how do you do that? It was a good sketch. I ended up giving somebody else for $10. They just took it. They wanted it. I had a very similar thing happen two more times that same weekend. And it must just be that I'm a sucker for letting people not pay me.
You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio, and this is my football food haul, a segment dedicated to the food I ate while my girlfriend watched her beloved Dallas Cowboys play this past week. That's right, football season has begun, and my girlfriend loves the Dallas Cowboys. So what we usually do is find a bar, restaurant, or pub that's playing the game on a big screen so she can go watch and I can go eat. I thought it would be a fun segment then to tell you about the food I ate while she watched the football game. As you heard in our introductory segment, we were in the Verde Valley this weekend for the Sedona Book and Arts Festival. So on our way out of town, we thought we'd take in the Cowboys' big season opener in Old Town Cottonwood. We stopped on their main street. We knew the game would be playing at Bootleggers because we had been there last season. So we stopped there once again. It's on the north side of Main Street there, just as you're about to round the bend to Clarkdale. You'll find Bootleggers in Old Town Cottonwood. And the game was indeed on the big screen. Last season, we had some pork tacos at Bootleggers, and they were okay. They were good, but I would describe them more as obligatory bar food, especially on a football Sunday. This time, this year, we were delighted to find a new menu featuring some signature items, including pork sliders, which Randy ordered. They were deceptively small considering how filling they were. I would say they were on small wheat buns with a delicious, juicy pulled pork inside. I ordered the jumbo wings. Now, I'm always skeptical of the description jumbo. I feel like that's a subjective term. So, considering only six came in the order, I also ordered a side of potato salad. The description of the potato salad caught my eye because it included bacon and caramelized onions. Now, those flavors were in the potato salad. The onions added a nice sweetness, the bacon, a nice saltiness to the potato salad's otherwise straight creaminess. So it was a very comprehensive taste. And I would highly recommend the potato salad there, considering the side is only $3 and you get a nice portion. The jumbo chicken wings, however, did steal the show. They were the MVP of this football Sunday, because they were delicious. They were truly jumbo. I would say, despite having eaten only six, I felt like I had eaten 12 regular non-jumbo wings. And that's highly complimentary when it comes to anything described as jumbo, that you feel you're getting a two-for-one deal in the singular item. They were juicy. They were delicious. Now, the menu described them as barbecue, but I still got a hint of buffalo, especially with the heat that came behind them. So I don't know what kind of rub they're using there, but you're getting both the flavor of a traditional chicken wing and that barbecue smokiness as well. The bartender told us that the wings would take a little longer than other dishes because they're first baked, then fried. Now, I don't know if that process preserves the juiciness or enhances the flavor, but I'm glad he shared that detail with us because it explained why they took a little longer. He said they would. So there's some good customer service there. But man, it was worth the wait because, again, knowing that kind of process, that kind of thought is going behind this dish, those jumbo chicken wings, were the perfect complement to an otherwise disappointing football game. That's right, the Cowboys lost. But we walked away as winners, having had some great bar food to complement the game. So if you're in Old Town Cottonwood, whether it's on a football Sunday or just any day of the week, I would recommend grabbing a bite and a beer at Bootleggers. It's a great, quaint little place there in Old Town. And tell them Russ sent you and that he loved the jumbo chicken wings. You'll have a jumbo time there. You've been listening to my football food haul for this week. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll look forward to future installments where I describe the food I eat while my girlfriend watches the football game. This is Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. As it comes to a close, I'd like to thank a few people for making it possible. I'd like to thank Zach Garcia, who recorded that wonderful rendition of Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That, performed by Jan Mark Quisenbig and me. If you find Zach Garcia's Facebook page, you can watch the video as we performed it live for the crowd at Riot in Old Town Cottonwood. I'd also like to thank John Derek West, the artist that told one of his sketchy stories this episode. You can see the video of that story on my YouTube channel at Karaoke Fanboy Press, where I've been posting a lot of cool videos lately, including an animation of one of my recent Amazing Arizona Comics strips. My brother Kyle made that animation possible, and he's also responsible for this acoustic rendition of Daydream Believer, playing right under this voiceover audio. So as we conclude this episode, please enjoy that. And my thanks to everybody that makes Amazing Arizona Comics come true, including you for listening. Catch you next time.